listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Lee Ellis of The Athletic joins us to talk some NBA. How are you, my friend?
Good, thanks, Tony. How are you?
Good. And I also have to mention, you host No Dunks Podcast. Is that the correct title? I want to get that right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we do the daily show every day. We're live here at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. So if anyone wants to join us and break down what happened last night in the another crazy night of NBA playoffs.
All right, let's get to the late game last night, Dallas against the Clippers. This is a 4-5 matchup, but now Dallas has taken these first two games on the road. Clippers got a good night from Kawhi Leonard. They got a good night from Paul George, but they're not getting a good night from anybody else. Is this a surprising result so far?
Well, yeah, yes and no. When you look at the way that Doncic has sort of really orchestrated the Mavericks, it shouldn't really be a surprise because he's been the best player in the series so far. He had another monster game last night, not a triple-double, but 39.7-7, and he really just led the way. And I think the biggest problem, what you're seeing from the Clippers, because you mentioned some good performances there, you know, from their stars in Kawhi and Paul George, but their defense is just non-existent right now. Yeah. Dallas is doing whatever it wants offensively, and that is just where Doncic can thrive, because it almost felt a little bit in this game where the Clippers were like, well, you know, I guess we want Doncic to score more rather than get into that flow where he had in game one with a triple-double. And he was like, okay, fine. I mean, Patrick Beverley, we know him. He regards himself to be a pretty tenacious defender, and he's the sort of guy who thinks he can go out there and shut anyone down. And in that fourth quarter, Doncic just walked into the lane a couple of times and scored layups easily. So I wonder how much longer Ty Lue can keep Patrick Beverley out there, because I just thought he was brutal last night in those crucial moments. And that's why you've got, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are all NBA-caliber defenders. Surely one of those guys should have been on Luka Doncic in those closing moments there,
right.
But he wasn't. But we'll see if that changes in Game 3 here, because obviously now the Clippers have to go for broke. I mean, very rarely. I think in a seven-game series, I think it's only the Rockets, with the Tracy McGrady Rockets, who had a 2-0 lead, ironically, on the Mavericks, and then lost that series in seven games. So that's the only other time I think a team that's won the first two games on the road has ended up losing the series. So history says the Mavericks are in pole position right now. But, you know, the Clippers team have got no ease. They've got the talent. Surely you think they're going to have a bit more fight in them as they head to Texas now.
All right, let's go to the Lakers and Phoenix. The Lakers get a split in Phoenix, winning game two. Anthony Davis comes back, has a very good game. But a lot of attention now on Chris Paul. How did he look to you? That shoulder is bothering him. And even though they're getting their youth to step up, they still need him on the floor. How do you evaluate the way where Phoenix is right now in this series?
They're in trouble. They're in real trouble. Chris Paul, he wouldn't be playing, I don't think, if this wasn't the playoffs. He played 23 minutes. Barely played in the second half there. Monty Williams just looked at him, and Monty Williams said after the game, I couldn't have him out there because he's just not able to move around as much. And the thing is, you know, with Chris Paul, it's how he operates on the offensive end. You know, he gets guys into their spots, and he can either hit that mid-range, he can drive inside for a little floater or a layup, or he just finds guys to the corner for threes. And he couldn't do that last night. He only had three turnovers, but they were all kind of turnovers that were like just because he hasn't got full motion with that right shoulder. And so, you know, the real question is now, do they even rest him maybe in game three and hope he can be back for game four? Because I just can't see the Suns staying in this series if Chris Paul is not 100% healthy. And I just don't think he will be. Whereas the Lakers, you know, you saw LeBron just looked rejuvenated last night. Anthony Davis looked much better. And now they're going back to LA. It's very tough to see how the Suns are going to win even one game, let alone two out there in LA. So unfortunately, I know it's early. It's only it's only two games, and they got the split. But I just think this series has gone the Lakers' way, because they're just in a much healthier position than Phoenix are right now. Because I just don't think Chris Paul is anywhere near where he needs to be playing for a playoff level, health wise.
This is so new because of the circumstances with LeBron being out and the Lakers kind of falling in the standings and then having to play that game against Golden State for that seven spot, that we don't talk about seven seeds just making a tweak here or there or getting improvement from one player and then they control a series. But it felt like last night that that's the team that is favored in this series, not the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, historically LeBron tends to have his worst game of any playoff series in the first game, and it's more that he's called it his feel-out game. And I think you could see that in game one. And then last night, I mean, you know, for a 36-year-old guy, he was running around like he was Devin Booker out there. You know, it was like he was 10 years younger. But this is what LeBron does. And Anthony Davis, I mean, game one against the Suns, it looked like LeBron said to him, don't even bother trying in this game. This is just to have a look at the Suns, because in game two, Anthony Davis, 21 free throws, 34 points, and just, you know, a dominant performance from an all-NBA player. So, yeah, this is why I just sort of think the Lakers are going to close it out from here, because even Andre Drummond last night was good. He wasn't all that great in Phoenix. But the Lakers' defense really turned it up as well, and that also is helped by the fact that the Suns' offense now has lost its most important piece. Cameron Payne was okay filling in. Devin Booker had 17 free throws, you know, so some good little, you know, things there for the Suns. But feeling that that's going to be enough to overcome an experienced veteran team that now is going to have the next two games at home is just too much for me. So, but LeBron, again, you know, he does this. He just, he likes to sort of toy with his opposition. And last night, clearly, he was in a much stronger groove than he was in for game one.
Brooklyn against the Celtics, this was an easy run for the Nets. Probably not a lot of deep analysis on this one. Brooklyn's getting their sea legs, getting ready for the rest. But when Joe Harris is your second leading scorer and you don't even need, like, James Harden to pour in 30 to beat the Celtics really handedly, I guess things are really going good for Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that Jason Tatum, he picked up an eye injury last night, only played 21 minutes. I mean, look, the game was over anyway. You know, they gave up 71 points in the first half. They were down, I think, 20-odd at halftime. And they just don't have the form in this series at all. I mean, you know, the for the Nets, I mean, guys like Joe Harris, this is a perfect team for him to be on, because so much attention goes to those other guys, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. And Joe Harris, you know, he's a great three-point shooter. And he just caught fire last night at the right time and really cashed in. So that's the thing. The Nets have multiple options and multiple different guys who can score. And it only takes one or two of those guys on any particular night to really put them a distance between them and the opponent. The Celtics just don't have the players. You know, without Jaylen Brown, especially their second best player, you know, they just don't have the defensive intensity there. Marcus Smart, you know, good, sort of tough defender, but if you're relying on him to be your second best scoring option, yeah, I guess maybe Kemba Walker, but that's just not going to really threaten the Nets here. The Nets don't really want to play defense. They just want a game like it was last night, where it's like, we're just going to run up the scoreboard here, and if we'll get to 130, 140. If you guys can keep up, good luck. But the Celtics just don't have the offensive firepower to stay with them. So this series, I can't see going any longer than four games, which is tough for the Celtics, because, again, they're missing their second best player. But even if they had Brown, I think the Nets win this series fairly comfortably anyway.
I've seen a lot of NBA playoff games where it's a blowout, but yet it doesn't lead to a larger conversation about where the team is. But I feel like Milwaukee's Game 2 performance has opened the door to a conversation about how good this Milwaukee Bucks team is going to be in the playoffs. Did you get a sense that it was a different narrative, a similar narrative to what we've been talking about with Milwaukee after a 34-point win against Miami?
Yeah, because the funny thing was, in game one, I thought that was actually any win's a good win, but I thought it was good the way that the Bucks didn't play all that well, nearly kind of blew it. Once it got to overtime, I thought that's where Jimmy Butler's just going to take over and the Heat are going to flex their muscles. But instead, it was the Bucks who really grinded it out and got a victory. So I figured if they played better in game two, then they really should be able to, you know, sort of put the foot down a little bit against Miami, because Bam and Jimmy Butler, the two real stars from the Heat, they didn't play well at all in game one, and they certainly didn't play all that much better in game two. Whereas Giannis saw that, like, if Trevor Ariza is going to guard Giannis, Giannis has to just dunk on him every time, because Trevor Ariza, you know, he's a solid vet. He's been a good player throughout his career, but he's far too slow. He's far too small. He's nowhere near athletic enough. And Giannis has to just, you know, sort of brutally dominate guys like him. And I thought a good job of that. And then they got contribution from their bench. Bryn Forbes had the sort of Joe Harris-like game last night where he just came out firing. And that's the way the Bucks like to play. That's the way they played their best basketball, when those three-pointers are falling. You know, and Giannis had a good game, but he didn't have to go out there and do it all for his team. So this is an interesting series now that we head back to Miami, because historically, you know, we just know that the Heat have got, and they're not going to lie down. They've got a fight. Yeah. They've got a punch coming, and they're going to do something different here to mix things up. I think they'd probably change their starting lineup. They had Kendrick Nunn starting the first two games. I wouldn't be surprised. I know Spoelstra likes to keep Goran Dragic coming off the bench, and that's where he's been effective. But I wonder if he just gives their offense a little bit more pop from the starting lineup, and he throws Dragic in there, and maybe even throws Dwayne Dedman in instead of Trevor Ariza, because I think if Ariza starts, if I'm Mike Budenholzer, whoever he's defending, I just go to that guy and say, take Trevor Ariza. He can't defend like he used to in his prime days. So that's where I think the Heat are in a little bit of trouble, because I just don't think they've got super depth. But again, they made the finals last year when no one really expected them to do it. Jimmy Butler's the sort of guy who's going to try to control the pace of the next game, and it certainly dragged the Heat back into this series. But if you're Milwaukee, you've got to be feeling pretty good right now, because certainly Game 2 was the game where they played a much more Milwaukee-style game and got a very positive result.
All right, Donovan Mitchell, he was upset he didn't play in Game 1, late scratch. What's the word on him for Game 2 tonight?
Well, he's playing. They quickly changed that yesterday, the Jazz, and sort of tried to, I think, brush that one under the carpet and say that, you know, look, he's fine, he's ready to go. But clearly that situation is not something that a number one seeded team wants after they lose the first game of their playoffs, because on Twitter, Donovan Mitchell kind of took a shot at the organization and the training staff and said, you know, I wish I could say more, and I'll talk again soon, or something like that. That, to me, is exactly the sort of internal chaos that can derail what has been an incredible season for Utah. So the Jazz, whatever that situation is, they took care of it, and they need to go out there tonight and have a very impressive win against the Memphis Grizzlies, because if they don't, if they lose that game, you know, or even if it's just close and they pull out a victory, you know that that could become a much bigger story in this series, and that's not what the Jazz want right now. They want everyone focused on their basketball, playing well, but, you know, even with Donovan, it's going to be tough because he hasn't played for over a month. And the Grizzlies right now are just playing their best basketball. You know, it goes back to last week when they beat the Spurs, and then they beat the Warriors in Golden State just to make the playoffs. And then on Sunday night, super performance against the Jazz. So, it's not easy for Utah right now, but they certainly need a good result on the floor tonight, I think, just to quiet that noise that could start, you know, becoming bigger and bigger if they lose again. Because anytime you've got a superstar player kind of, you know, jawing with his own franchise front office and coaching staff to an extent, that's just never a good sign for a team. So hopefully the Jazz can sort of put that behind them and move forward and just, again, start playing winning basketball.
Lee, always good talking to you, my friend. We've got to catch up with you down the road when we get even more tighter in the postseason. Thanks a lot, as always.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. It's Sports Map Radio. It's Wake Up Call.